My guest at this time is Ali Reza Jafarzadeh. He is the Deputy Director of the U.S. Office of the National Council of Resistance of Iran. He joined us just a few weeks ago to talk about how intelligence uncovered by Iranian resistance has revealed that Iran continues to pursue its nuclear weapons agenda despite the restrictions on that in the 2015 Iran nuclear deal. Earlier this week, he has once again revealed more intelligence, and that is the aggressive pursuit of ballistic missile production inside Iran, and it's actually accelerated quite extensively since the Iran nuclear deal has been signed. And Ali Reza, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you so much, Greg. Always a pleasure to be on your show.
So let's start with the directive coming from the very top of the Iranian government. Once this nuclear deal was signed among Iran, plus the P5 plus one involving the United States and the Obama administration, of course, how soon and how quickly did the Iranian regime start to get more aggressive in its ballistic missile program?
Greg, ever since the new round of nuclear negotiations started in 2013, and Tehran already knew that, you know, where things are heading, that they would have to give up not all, but at least some aspect of their nuclear program temporarily. And all the attention is now focused on the nuclear issue, and there is willingness to compromise on a whole host of other issues as well. Tehran had decided to step up their efforts on the missile side of their rogue behavior, namely expanding their both the production of the missiles, but their readiness to deploy them and make them operational. And we noticed that there was an escalation within the IRGC, Islamic Revolutionary Guards Corps, because they have a section, one of the four forces of the IRGC is what they call the aerospace force that is tasked primarily with their missile program. It used to be called Air Force of the IRGC, basically having helicopters, controlling airports and all of that. But since a few years ago, they changed the whole structure into aerospace force, meaning the dominance is with the missile program. And most of their work is the expansion of their missile program. And all of the activities related to launching, testing, and making missiles operational, controlling the missile sites are actually run by the Revolutionary Guards, by this missile, by this aerospace force, and the production itself, which is a separate entity, is controlled by the Defense Ministry. And we saw an escalation in all of those areas. We managed to identify so far 42 different locations around the country that are dedicated to their missile program, and they include sites that are engaged in the design, production, testing, and launching their missiles. And interestingly, when you look at the map that we revealed at our press conference that marked the location of these missile sites, most of the sites that were focusing on the production were in the central part of Iran near Tehran. But all the sites related to launching and operational were either in the western border of the country, which brings them, you know, closer to their targets in Europe and the western side of the world, and the southern part of the country near the Persian Gulf area, which makes the Iran regime much more accessible to the Persian Gulf countries, making very clear the objective of their entire missile program. It's not for defensive purposes. This is meant to intimidate. This is meant to dominate. And most importantly, on top of all of these things, it is meant to give the Iran regime the ability to build a bomb and to be able to carry it. That is to say, building a nuclear warhead. That is their ultimate objective.
Ali Reza, one of the things that was many people hoped would be brought up at the nuclear negotiations with Iran was putting clamps on the missile program. Ultimately, Secretary of State Kerry and the Obama administration and the other officials that were there from the other nations decided not to make that part of the deal. So as worrisome as this is, Iran is not technically violating that deal. They may be violating some UN resolutions, perhaps. But in terms of the nuclear deal, they would seem to be clear of any punishment on this. So how out of bounds are they in doing this based on the guidelines that they're supposed to be operating under?
Well, you know, the Iran regime, even if there are, you know, restrictions imposed on them, they're very good at violating them and dodging them and cheating and most of the time not even getting caught. In this case, even though technically, as you said, they're in clear violation of UN Security Council resolutions, because most of these missiles that they're working on are actually nuclear-capable missiles, that they can actually mount nuclear warheads on them, even though Tehran claims that all of their programs, even the nuclear program, everything is for peaceful purposes. But I think that's a dilemma, because the Iran regime is really staying below the radar screens, doing all kinds of activities that would ultimately give them the ability to build a bomb and deliver it with very little attention or with very little restrictions. One of the troubling things we found out during our investigation was that there was a direct connection between the nuclear weapons program of Iran and their missile program. These are not two separate entities. For instance, is one of the specific sites, which is perhaps the most important missile site that they have, is called Semnan, which is in the central part of the country. In that site, there is a very active cooperation between the agency that oversees the nuclear weaponization work, known as SEPAND, capital S-P-N-D, and that's the organization that we revealed in 2011. That's controlled by the Revolutionary Guards, the Defense Minister and the Revolutionary Guards, headed by notorious Mohsen Fakhrizadeh, and has evaded inspections by the IAEA. We had a recent revelation in April that Sepand was stepping up their activities, and the real issue about the nuclear program is the weaponization part that is not really being dealt with. Now, this old agency, Sepand, is highly connected to the missile program, to this particular site in Semnan, that we found out that every week there is a high-level delegation from Sepand going from Tehran to Semnan and doing some activities there and coming back. So that's a very serious, troubling thing. The other element that we found out was the extensive connection and collaboration between North Korea and Iran on their missile program, to the extent that North Korean experts, when they travel to Iran to help the missile program, they stay at the private residence area that the regime has allocated for the North Koreans. They don't check into some hotels or anything like that. They're staying there in a very secure area. And vice versa, the Iranian missile experts travel to North Korea and spend time and exchange ideas and views and expertise, in that. So, that's a very, very troubling part of this missile program. And unfortunately, there's been very little attention to it. Thank God that there were some measures recently in the U.S. Congress. There was a resolution that was passed in the Senate, S-722, that has a language about further restrictions on the missile program of Iran. And we are hoping that those restrictions will be enforced once this is passed in the House and turned into law. But also additional measures are actually needed. This is not enough. We need to do a lot more. We need to have the IRGC itself designated as a foreign terrorist organization. And we need to make sure that we expel, all the presence of the IRGC in Syria, Iraq, and other countries in the region out of there to limit the activities of the regime.
When you say we, who are you talking about?
I think what I'm talking about is actually both the United States itself, the U.S. government and the U.S. Congress doing their part to do that. And I think the countries in the region need to play their role as well, you know, especially the recent coalition that was formed, Arab Islamic American Summit, that these Islamic countries are basically saying that, you know, we're being threatened by the Iran regime and their terrorism. They need to do their part in isolating the Iran regime. And of course, the people of Iran, their role is to, you know, help out with the, what we call the ultimate solution, which is changing this regime with the by the people of Iran, because so long as this regime is in power, they're going to continue their missile program, they're going to continue their nuclear weapons program until and unless they're really, really pressured significantly by the outside world, and the outside world would reach out to the forces who want to change the situation. That's, I think, that's our responsibility, meaning the, you know, the Iranian opposition, and that's also the U.S. responsibility and the countries in the region to do their part. It's a collaborative work to really needs to be done to contain this threat.
Last question before we let you go, Ali, and that is, what type of response do you get to this? When we talked a few weeks ago about the ongoing nuclear ambitions in violation of the deal, and now, of course, the accelerated missile ambitions, and many of these devices, of course, only have a singular purpose of carrying perhaps a nuclear warhead. What type of reaction are you getting? Is it an international yawn? Is it concern but not people doing things? Or are things happening behind the scenes and we just don't hear about it in the headlines?
Well, certainly no one is yawning about this, because I think they understand that, you know, this is a very, very serious issue. I noticed yesterday during the State Department briefing, the issue was raised, and the State Department spokesperson, Heather Nauert, she said that the people at the State Department were actually watching live our press conference in Washington, and they're monitoring this information. They were aware of the information we put out. And also Congress has shown a lot of interest, interestingly, on both sides of the aisle on the missile information that we put out. They also had, were very interested on the information we put out in April about the nuclear weapons program of Iran. And I'm hoping, even though, you know, it may be somewhat too early to know like where things are going, but I'm hoping that as the administration is reviewing its policy on Iran, as they said they are, they would take a totally different approach, that the approach would be entirely different, and in a way that they wouldn't pin any hopes on any sort of moderates emerging from within the regime. Any hopes of getting anywhere through endless, hopeless negotiations with the Iran regime, and instead focusing on building pressure on the Iran regime, while at the same time they reach out to the true allies of the United States and the free world, which is the people of Iran and the organized opposition. And that's something that hasn't been done before, and that's something that I'm hoping that this administration will do.
The resistance inside Iran is certainly providing a lot of very valuable information that hopefully folks will take seriously. And it sounds from what you're saying that many of them are. Thank you, sir, very much for your time today.
Thank you so much, Greg. I really appreciate that. And I, as you said, the network inside Iran of the main opposition, the Mujahideen Khalq, that exposed all of these activities on the nuclear program and the missile program and all of that. They will continue to do their work, as they're also doing their side inside Iran and organizing demonstrations and protest acts. And I'm very hopeful that not in a, you know, too distant future, we will see a change. Let's see that as soon as we can.
Ali Reza Jafarzadeh is Deputy Director of the U.S. Office of the National Council of Resistance of Iran. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.